Hey, and welcome back to Sunday Replay. My name's Jace. I'm the Digital Ministry Director at Harmony Toluca Lake, a campus of Hollywood United Methodist Church. And every week, we put out this podcast to break down, summarize, and help you to experience our worship services all in a safe and affirming space. And if that means you're doing church on a podcast, that's okay. Because we're just glad that you're taking the time out of your week to experience what God has in store for you. Now, this week, we're kicking off a new series for the spring called Wrestling Without Finding Faith. So here's our pastor, Mark Stevenson.
Well, good morning, Harmony. It is such a gorgeous day outside, yes, and inside, and on this first Sunday in April. Oh my goodness, after having celebrated a marvelous Easter, yes, amen? Oh yes, that was wonderful last week. I'm so grateful to see all of you here in person today, as well as connecting with those online. Hello, and those listening to our Sunday Replay podcast. I do want to give a shout out to Jace Lucas, who is our digital ministry director, as he does such a fantastic job hosting this podcast series. And we value everything that Jace does. But I also want to give thanks to Donna Miller, who wears numerous hats for us as well. And she is Harmony's AV and content director. On top of which, what a blessing that this faith community is, because we have awesome volunteers here and part-time staff members, as well as those who are in the worship band. Yes, indeed. Every one of you, you are a gift here at Harmony and in so many ways. So thank you. All right. So before we dig into today's new sermon series, I have a joke to share, and you'll see the through line. So you ready? Here we go. Why did the skeptic bring a ladder to the bar? Well, he heard the drinks were on the house, and he wanted to check it out. Wow. Shauna, you can use that one later in your comedy act. Okay, so with that, we are about to embark on a sermon series over the next few Sundays entitled Wrestling with Doubt, Finding Faith. So who here has ever had doubts or been skeptical? Show of hands. Yep. Oh, all right. Okay. Well, now, have you ever wrestled with doubt? Yeah. Now, I'm going to flip it and say, have you ever struggled with your faith? Yeah. Now, for example, I'm going to go off of that one. Have you ever wondered about the concept of God being both personal, yet also a supernatural being who created the universe and runs it? Or maybe you have a deep appreciation for Jesus. And, you know, you got to love Jesus. But then there's just a few Christian beliefs that sort of give you a pause, like, huh, what about that virgin birth thing? Or maybe resurrection after death. And it's like, I don't know. Or maybe you've read the Bible, and this is such an inspiring book about our faith. It's supposed to be inspiring our faith. But you go, I don't know, because I'm a little troubled here with these couple of scripture passages that are attributed to God, like violence, subordination of women, teachings about sexuality. Or what about this one? Does the divine creator actually send everyone who doesn't believe what we believe to hell forever? Or you might be wrestling with, why is there human suffering and why isn't God doing anything about it? Okay, well, got that off my chest. Now we're going to, as we delve into this sermon series, what we're going to do is explore the tension between doubt and belief while seeking a faith that embraces both mystery and trust, leading to a deeper, richer encounter with God. Sound good? Yeah. All right. So this morning's message, Doubt is Real, centers on the scripture passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. But before focusing on this, though, and then expounding further on the reality of doubt, I want to point out right off the bat that doubt is a universal experience. It happens to everyone, whether we're willing to admit it or not. Now, I bring up the admit it or not part because there are times you may have been told that it is wrong for you to be troubled by your doubts. That when you have doubts, you're sinning against God. Now, who here wants to be sinning against God, right? But no, no, no. With your doubts, you've allowed Satan to enter into the picture. You're traveling down the wrong path, and this might even cause you to lose your faith in God, in Jesus altogether. That you're falling prey to weakness and the Almighty is wagging their omnipotent finger at you. Now, you know what? I've been told that before by some good church folks. Now, it's years ago. Has that ever happened to anyone else? Yeah, because this is when you and I'll even say it's me. I sit there and go, wow, how dare little old me dare question anything about God, about Jesus, about the Bible, about the church. And when you do that, you start swallowing up the questions because, you know what, you don't want to get shamed for it. Which leads us to the story of Thomas. Now, for those of us, this could be long-time Christians, it could be someone starting out on your faith journey. How many times have you been told in your life, don't be like Thomas? Thomas doubted. And you know what? Jesus doesn't like doubters. Or a particular verse is brought up like, well, as Jesus said, happy are those who don't see yet believe. Thank you. Not so much. Why is Thomas... Why is Thomas the go-to person for doubt shaming? Why? Because he's not the one and only shining example of doubt. There are plenty more examples. All you got to do, open up the Bible, and there it is. There's numerous stories of those who have had their doubts. There's Abraham and Sarah. How ironic it is that Abraham is called the father of the faithful. Abraham had doubts related to God's promise that he would be the father of many nations. Why would he have those doubts? Well, hello, he and his wife, they were more than qualified for AARP. And up to that point, they had been childless. Abraham also experienced doubts regarding his safety when he was traveling to foreign lands. You can find two of these doubt instances in Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, and Genesis chapter 20. And I'm going to go ahead and add into this, although it's not mentioned in the Bible explicitly, but what do you think? When God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, I mean, come on. I think Abraham was sitting there wrestling with what God was asking him to do. And I'm going to toss out a few other names for you. How about Moses? Moses had doubts. There's David, Elijah, Gideon, Job, Joseph, hello, regarding the virgin birth. You got Peter, the other disciples and followers. And again, doubt is a common aspect of the human experience. Even among those in the religious narratives that I just told you about who had deep faith and they had significant roles. Friends, faith is complex. Yet, here's Thomas, dubbed Mr. Doubter, Mr. Skeptical. And folks lean on that part about, and here's Thomas, he's excitedly informed. He's informed about by the other disciples that they've seen the risen Lord, who, by the way, I just want to point out that they actually had the good fortune of having seen the nail marks in Jesus' hands and the wound in his side. But, hello, just saying, Thomas didn't get a show-and-tell moment. No, he declares he needs to see the same thing that they did. And then that's when he'll buy what they're selling. What happens next? Well, as we learn, 8 days later, Jesus appears before all of the disciples and invites Thomas to touch the wounds in his hands and the wound in his side. And then there's where Thomas is convinced and he exclaims, well, hello, now I have seen the Lord, just like all the rest of you. Now, faith community, in this narrative from John 20, we see and sense the tension between faith and firsthand evidence. Meet me in my unbelief by offering proof so I can believe, which Jesus provided. Yet in this passage, we are reminded faith transcends what is visible. Faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. In this narrative, we are witnesses to Thomas, who was part of the inner circle, and he lived alongside Jesus during his earthly ministry, and he saw miracles, and he was part of the hearing of those magnificent and insightful teachings and experiencing Jesus' power. And in spite of all of this, we witness hesitation on the part of Thomas, which tells us that even close proximity to the Lord doesn't guarantee unwavering faith. In this narrative, we learn Thomas's skepticism leads to a powerful revelation. Faith is not blind. It engages both heart and mind. That our faith shouldn't shy away from reason. And that's something that ties into John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, who believed reason is important, that reason is a gift from God and can be used to discern truth and engage with theological questions. And in this narrative, we discover that Thomas, his initial reaction 8 days earlier, not willing to believe in something just because everybody else believes it, it didn't disqualify him from Jesus' grace. And with this, we discover that our doubts don't disqualify us from Jesus' grace either. They propel us toward deeper understanding. I love my life. This week, I was in conversation with someone in Spain. I was in conversation with someone in Los Angeles. I was in conversation with someone in London, England. And the common denominator in these three separate chats was the element of doubt. It didn't dominate any of the discussions, but what happened is each individual mentioned it at some point, and I didn't push it at all. It just came up. And there was things like self-doubt. There was one person that talked about overcoming doubt that was expressed by others to them. And another had talked about being concerned about making the right choices in their life. All right, so who, what gives doubts? What does that feel like? It feels uncomfortable. There can be an anxiety. There can be insecurity swirling about. You might feel frustrated or angry or guilty, even lonely. And, of course, there's vulnerability. Yes. So, what gives us doubts? Well, as Beth said, things about like uncertainty. Now, that could be about yourself. That could be about the future. That could be about things happening in the world, and we got plenty of that going on. Encountering something that has challenged your beliefs or assumptions. Facing setbacks. Doubts can arise when we engage in critical thinking, which then leads to examining our beliefs and our values, our behaviors. How about grappling with philosophical questions that defy easy answers? Now, it may sound like what I'm doing is I'm throwing some shade on doubt and saying that it's inherently bad. It's a bad thing, but that's not necessarily true because it does serve a positive purpose in our lives and can be a vital part of one's growth and development. For instance, going back to critical thinking, the doubts may arise because you're questioning something, but it can lead to a deeper understanding of oneself and the world and then the choices that you are now going, okay, and now I choose to believe that. Doubt can be a great motivator. Indeed, inspiring curiosity, a thirst for knowledge, to seek answers and explore new ideas. Doubt can foster empathy and understanding and an openness toward others, because what you do is you're acknowledging, you know what, none of us have all the answers, right? And what that then does, hello, humility. And then when we're facing challenges, doubt can encourage resilience and give us strength. It also encourages reflection and evaluation so we can be better informed when we are making decisions. Doubt reminds us that our faith is a journey marked by both certainty and uncertainty. Now, turning to Thomas, I was talking to Jace a few days ago, who lives in the Denver area, and while we were discussing Thomas's struggle, it came up. Jace said, well, you know, maybe Thomas was guarding his heart. Maybe he didn't want to get his hopes up. Well, I reflected on that and how this might relate to our own doubt experiences. Now, for sure, well, Jesus' death, it had to have crushed Thomas horribly. His heart was shattered, reeling from the trauma of loss and dashed hopes of the one he believed to be the Messiah. And when the other disciples told Thomas about Jesus' resurrection and having stood before them, that man's heart, if you think about it, it bore the scars of grief. That the idea of hope, that Jesus was alive, well, is it any wonder that he would want to shield his heart from further disappointment? While Thomas's heart longed for the news to be true, he needed tangible reassurance. His heart needed healing. And Jesus met Thomas exactly at his vulnerable point. And just like God wants to meet us and will meet us at our vulnerable points. Great quote coming up. If you don't have any doubts, you are either kidding yourself or asleep. Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith. They keep it awake and moving. I love this quote by the great theologian and author Frederick Buechner. While guarding his heart, what Thomas didn't do was deny his doubts. They were the ants in the pants of his faith. And just like Thomas, there are times when we guard our hearts when dealing with broken relationships, unexpected, unmet expectations, dashed dreams. Thomas's struggle, it resonates with us in those moments when we hesitate to believe in love, to believe in redemption, to believe in new beginnings. That said, Thomas's story teaches us that doubts, they need not be the enemy of faith. As Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once stated, faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. When taking this first step, what Jesus wants us to do is bring our guarded hearts and along with our doubts to him. Because doubt isn't the opposite of faith. It is an element of faith. Taking that first step in faith, even when we don't see the whole staircase, and although it can definitely give us pause, we have the opportunity to acknowledge our wounds, to recognize our heart's scars. And this allows us to become more self-aware of the emotional wounds that we carry. Denying these wounds, friends, denying these wounds are not going to heal us. But by acknowledging and accepting our emotional pain, what we do is we create space for healing. Our scars can become source of strength and resilience, empowering us to make conscious choices that align with our values and our aspirations. And I want to point out, Jesus didn't deny the wounds that he suffered. And he invites us to touch his scars and to find healing in his woundedness. We have the opportunity to risk hope. Scary. And as George Isles wrote, hope is faith holding out its hand in the dark. It's understandable why we guard our hearts. However, that doesn't mean that our hearts are shut off. And Thomas knew that. And though guarded, he spoke up saying what he needed. He took a risk there in believing in something that seemed improbable, which ultimately led to a profound affirmation of faith. And rather than missing out on the abundant life and deep connection that faith offers, we have the opportunity to discern where we invest our hope. And we have the opportunity to walk with others, very important. And though we may be trepidatious and we're feeling like, oh, you know, it's best to be alone in my doubts, let's remember that Thomas was part of a community. And likewise, we too need fellow travelers to walk alongside us whenever we're having times of doubt. Having a supportive faith community or trusted individuals that can reassure us that we aren't alone in our struggles is important. We are then provided with an outlet, friends, to express how we're feeling and what concerns us. This is when we can gain perspective and encouragement, and we can build bonds of trust and connection to navigate us through what is before us. So in bringing today's message, Doubt is Real, to a close, here's a second quote from George Isles, who, by the way, he served as the editor of the Popular Science Monthly for a period of time and was involved in various social reform movements. Doubt is the beginning, not the end of wisdom. Thomas's journey reminds us that faith isn't blind optimism. Faith is a journey, and doubts are a natural part of that journey. While doubt may challenge our faith, it isn't an ending. Jesus isn't afraid of our doubts. He's inviting us to bring our questions to him, and by doing so, it can lead us to a deeper and more resilient faith. So friends, let us seek truth earnestly and wrestle with our doubts. Let's journey together as a faith community, supporting and encouraging one another as we navigate the complexities of faith. And let us embrace our doubts so that we may ultimately encounter the living Christ in a more meaningful and life-transforming way. Amen. 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 All right.
It's time for the Sunday Replay Halftime Show, where every week we take a few minutes to share about opportunities that you have to connect with the faith community. This week, I'm excited to share that the Toluca Lake Pancake Breakfast is coming up on May 11th, and that we at Harmony will be participating in this awesome opportunity. It's a fundraiser for Fire Station number 86, and also for the Widows, Orphans, and Disabled Firemen's Fund. You can participate this year, and at Harmony, we need 20 more volunteers to help us show our firefighters that we love them and we love our community. So if you are available on May 11th and can participate, I would encourage you to contact Pastor Mark, and his email is Mark, that's M-A-R-K, at hollywoodumc.org. Also, we wanted to remind you that we have a prayer team at Harmony that would love to be praying over you. This is a group of clergy and staff and volunteers alike, all who are sworn to confidentiality and are happy to keep your prayer requests just among ourselves. We don't share these requests with anyone else, but we do bring them to God every single week. We pray over a number of different requests that people have, from jobs to health to family needs, and we would love to pray for you. We also pray for good things, not just requests to God, but also praises. So if you have a prayer request, or if you just want to give God some credit and want to share it with a group of people who will celebrate with you and will bring thanksgiving to God for what God is doing in your life, you can contact Pastor Mark with any prayer requests, and he'll make sure that it gets to the prayer team and that we are praying for you over the coming weeks. Don't forget, this week on the Harmony Podcast Network, we have another episode of Short Stories on Our Story, the podcast. And this week, we're talking about the United Methodist Church upcoming General Conference. It's long awaited. It was postponed for years due to the pandemic, but we have some very important work that's going to be done. So make sure that you tune in to this next episode of Our Story, the podcast, so that you can learn about all that's happening at General Conference and how you can be praying for that work that our delegates will be doing. For now, let's turn our hearts to God in worship, led by our worship band.
If it's bandaging the broken or washing filthy feet, Here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't agree. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm poor, if I'm wealthy, I serve you just the same. Here I am, Lord, send me. On the mountain or the valley, I will choose to praise. And here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, because I love you. I love, love you. Yes, I do. So here I am, Lord, send me. And here I am, Lord, send me. Oh yeah, here I am, Lord, send me, send me. Yeah, here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would encourage you to check out the other podcasts on the Harmony Podcast Network. We have Inner Harmony on the first and third Wednesdays of every month. This is a meditation podcast led by Harmony's Meditation Ministry Director, Reverend Jefferson Beaker. And he gives us a different focus in every episode that helps us to connect with the Spirit of God through meditation. We also have Our Story, the podcast, which comes out on the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month. Now, the first episode every month is a short stories episode where we talk about current events and things that are happening in the world and how they relate to our faith. But the other episode that comes out is a little bit longer, and it's the story of a member of our faith community. And all of these episodes help us to tell stories that contribute to God's bigger story and how those stories relate to our faith. So definitely check those out. You can find them anywhere that you're listening to podcasts. Thanks again for listening to this episode. Our guests this week were Pastor Mark Stevenson and the Harmony Worship Band. This episode was produced by our AV and content director, Donna Miller, and hosted by me, Jace Lucas. Sunday Replay is a part of the Harmony Podcast Network. You can find Harmony on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Harmony Toluca Lake. Please be sure to like, rate, comment, subscribe, download, and hit that 5-star review button for this episode. We really appreciate your feedback and your support. Be sure to tune in next week as we continue our spring series, and also we'll have a special Learn segment on the podcast with Bishop Marianne Swenson, who's going to be sharing about General Conference. We can't wait for that opportunity to learn from her wisdom. Until then, as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.